from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Leading off for the Perkins and Spiegel Show, number two, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
oh, sick.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it was funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Burleson lines one. Diving catch by Nico Horner. That's out number two. Back-to-back excellent defensive plays.
Nico goes. The pitch. Swing and a miss. The throw to second base is not in time. Stolen base for Nico.
Now good jump by Nico as he gets to that bag.
Completely changes the dynamic of the game. Just an extra 90 feet obviously leads to my base hit. Like, that scores him. You know, you don't need another hit to then score.
Yeah, now a base hit to the outfield and the Cubs will tie this ballgame.
Line drive, base hit, left field. Here comes Nico. And we're tied up at four. Yes, sir.
Just like the little things that make him obviously such a great player and such a valuable commodity for our group.
Ball game! Cubs win! Mike Tuchman walks it off!
It changes games, and that's what winning players do, and that he's definitely one of them.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Our conversations with Nico are brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois, 18 years in a row. What's up, Nico Horner?
Hi, how are we doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. In my little hallway spot. Feeling good.
Nice. It's nice to hear that in that montage, the stolen base, a key part of what happened last Thursday night in that walk-off and Dansby saying nice things. It's we haven't seen the steals as much this year, but you still got that in you in a big moment, apparently, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on pace for like 30, so that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, it's not 50.
Last year.
Never did 50.
I know. We had high hopes for you this year, man. I know you've never done 50, but, you know.
I think last year we kind of abused the rule changes early on, and teams made some appropriate adjustments from there. So I don't know if 50 is in the cards, but we'll see.
You obviously last night, notwithstanding, the offense has been much better, especially since the deadline and Paredes getting here. You had said is the best version of us on the year. Why do you think, you know, overall the offense has been better of late?
Just from a depth perspective, I feel like when you look at the lineup, it's just a more complete lineup, a lineup that's a little more versatile. I think we have the ability to score in different ways, and combination of contact and some slug, and I think we're in a good spot with that offensively.
How much does one guy, even if he's not next to you in a lineup, impact you and other guys in the lineup? Like we've kind of debated that on the show, but obviously we have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think lineup construction's super interesting. I mean, I think the idea of you want your best hitters up as much as possible probably is the biggest factor, but it does seem like there's some combinations and pockets and skill sets that do line up, and sometimes that's just kind of a gut feeling, and obviously there's the righty-lefty combos, but, for instance, last year I felt like when I was able to be on base for Belly in particular, I just feel like anytime I was able to get in scoring position for him, you know, we were able to make that happen. And you know, just kind of, especially when you see guys out there that you know, and it's like you've been there before, and just kind of have a bit of a rhythm with it.
I keep trying to have people confirm something I believe. You know that interview technique, Danny? You like that one when I go for that, right?
I do.
I know you
it's,
like
it's
it.
It's a personal favorite.
Yeah.
Of mine.
I was like, hey, I asked Dustin Kelly, your hitting coach, the other day in the dugout. I'm like, so when you see guys like Paredes and Bellinger with the two-strike approach, does that influence the willingness of other people? Does it get contagious in that way? And he said, no, it doesn't. And it bummed me out. But then I'm thinking, we asked you that question about Bellinger. Remember we asked Nico that question about Bellinger last year? And I think there was a yes, or was I just, look, you know, getting confirmation on that? Like when you see people doing that, are you more willing, I wonder, as a ball club to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Isaac Paredes changes anything with two strikes, or that it's just a skill set that works with two strikes. You know, I think you see more of an exaggerated adjustment from Belly, but overall, hard to say, but we'll see. It'll be interesting the more we play with him.
Jed said that he cares a lot about how the offense performs the last 2 months. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, like, you know, if that bad stretch gets looked at now as a bad stretch, okay, it was a bad stretch, but if it continues, it's obviously going to impact a lot and weigh on him when he makes decisions about what next year's team will look like this offseason. Is that something that he communicates to you guys, or what do you make of that message?
No, it's the first time I've heard that, but I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Obviously, what you do in the offseason is based on the version of the team that you have going into next year. And, you know, obviously a lot of baseball is done this year, but there's also a significant chunk left, especially when you talk about additions to the team, as well as, you know, guys like Pete, who have really been swinging the bat well. And I think showing who he is at this level and who he can be, and as well as those of us that haven't played to our standards, but believe that we have a lot more in the tank, obviously. So, yeah, all that stuff matters a lot. And obviously, as the players' end of it, we're focused on this year first and foremost, obviously. But those do have big implications for sure.
What are you seeing from Pete at the plate that you're enjoying?
Just lots of hard hit balls, line drives, hard hit ground balls. You know, obviously, you don't go up there to hit ground balls, but like if your miss is a hard hit ground ball, you have a chance of producing. And you know, just the hard hit line drives. I mean, anytime he hits a ball that touches grass, he's going to have a chance to slug, and has home run power, as we've seen, and just really impressive on a variety of different kind of pitchers too. Such a big part of being an everyday guy, obviously, is not being, you know, lumped into facing certain types of guys and then having a type of pitcher that really, you really aren't productive against. And so it's been exciting to see him really cover a variety of pitches and pitchers.
Before the play where he and you had the problem in the eighth inning, that sky was weird, right? Like Dansby had waved the two of you off kind of frantically for one. And there was a pop-up, Nico, where you waved everybody off and then had a big smile to PCA and to Dansby after you made the catch. What was so odd about the sky that day to begin with, so we understand?
The day that we dropped the ball, or when I caught one?
Yeah, the Saturday when you dropped it, there was like a play with a big smile, an inning or two before the one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the sun later in the year, the sun is a little bit more centered. So anything in the middle of the field is the sun plays a big factor, and then the wind blowing as it always is. You know, I think you see more pop-ups in general. Dropped at Wrigley, but yeah, I don't know how much of a factor the sun played on the ball that we actually dropped, though.
Well, you had said that you trust PCA more than basically anyone that you'd ever played with, which I thought was an interesting way to describe it afterwards, just given that you guys haven't played that much together. Can you expand on why, I guess, you said that, or maybe more accurately, like why you trust him so much?
Just because of the prep that he puts in, the skill set that he has, the confidence that he plays with, how much he believes in himself. You know, it's easy to believe in other people when I know that they believe in themselves first. And, you know, especially on the defensive side of the baseball, is just, I love how he talks about the game. I love how he takes, not only does it well, but takes pride in it. He's not just like someone who's blessed with a talent and then just goes and does it. There's thoughts behind it. And, he's working every day to improve. And yeah, just have a lot of confidence in him.
So just expand on it, like trust on a baseball field when you're talking about it in those terms. Like, how do you measure it? How does it matter?
Well, it matters because I can't see him, and he's coming full speed, and I have to get out of the way.
that's very logical.
Yeah. So I guess that in that particular play, that's where, you know, my head went. And, you know, just the priorities on any ball in the air, the center fielder is the head guy out there, right? So he's in charge, and what he says goes. And that's going to be a really good thing for us in the long run, obviously, with his skill set. So we trust him to make those calls and catch the ball.
Ian Happ was on this morning and actually brought up the play where you and he had collided in 2021, I guess it was, in Cincinnati. And he brought it up in the context of you guys had to figure out, you know, your communication and just how it goes. I would like, maybe this is, and he brought it up in terms of like, maybe this is that moment where you and Pete then have to talk and take it to an extra level. And now you'll know that nothing like this will ever happen again. That is, does that make sense as a way to think about it?
Yeah. I mean, the one with Ian was interesting because neither of us called that ball ever. Because it was a true in-betweener, and there was no point in the air where I was like, I have this ball. And I assume he felt the same way. And we did it right where I went high and he went low. But unfortunately, you know, I went through his body and face. I think the only takeaway for me on the pop-up side, I mean, I'm not going to like stress over pop-ups because we're going to catch a lot of pop-ups. But just with the wind blowing straight in, it's like it was, it's, you know, more likely the infielder ends up camped. And then with it blowing out, infielders tend to kind of, like their feet are shuffling and they're drifting. And that's when you need the outfielder. So the wind is obviously a huge factor at Wrigley and should be play to our strengths as our home field.
We're talking to Nico Horner here, Parkins and Spiegel on the score. All right, a couple different lines of questioning here. We know you're a big proponent of the dominance of the Odyssey softball team, but there's
a huge fan of Odyssey softball.
But the team has a crisis, Nico. Shane can explain.
All right, Nico. So second to last regular season game last night, our shortstop, who we've told you about, Cody Westerlund, fractured his thumb. He is out for the season. I need your help because I've got to slide over from third and become the shortstop on a 9-0 Odyssey softball team. I've lost weight recently, but I don't know if the speed came with it. I think I'll have the range. My arm is strong. You just want me playing deep back onto the grass or cut balls off?
Whatever gets you on the routine play most consistently. I think as a replacement guy, your teammates are going to really judge you based on the play that they just basic one they need to have. Anything else is bonus from that point. And so I think you need to just self-reflect on like what gets you to the place that you can most consistently do the simplest thing. And maybe something great happens from that. But I think that's just where you keep your head for now.
I already spend a lot of time self-reflecting and it never really turns out good. So I don't know
it's more of a therapy
how much
thing,
self-reflection I should be doing. And also I think they
maybe
judge
less,
me.
Maybe less self-reflecting.
Maybe less self. I think also my teammates judge me for a lot more than just my ability to play softball. And I think that's also part of the problem.
Yeah. Are you going to take a lot of extra reps or are you just going to trust your instincts and just go?
No, I'm going to trust my instincts. Yeah, I'm just going to pounce on the ball.
That's probably better. You're not going to reinvent the wheel in a week's time. Okay. I think you're more capable than you probably realize. So
that means more than that. That means so much coming from you. Thank you.
I mean, honestly, I was kind of hoping that Nico was just going to volunteer.
Yeah, I thought so too.
When he said we need your help, I thought the next question was, can you take the last 6 weeks off of the Cubs season and come help out Odyssey?
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of all these rules.
Shane wants this.
I do want it, but I'm kind of tired of all these stupid rules Craig Counsell has for you. It's dumb.
An on-field injury?
No, it was like an in-betweener. It was on-field. It was an in-betweener where he didn't know if he wanted to let it hop or try to cut it off and catch the liner, and it caught his left thumb. He's in a cast and everything.
That sport with no glove will get you.
Yeah, they say that.
It will. And then listen, Nico, we are out here. We're having a great time at the Wall out here in Gurnee, and so we've got a live audience in front of us, and there's a kid out here. He's 11 years old. His name is Zeb, and he's rocking a Cubs hat and a Cubs jersey, and he – it's a Nico Horner jersey. He's a huge fan of yours. And so I asked Zeb if he had a question for you, and he said, yeah, why does Nico wear number two? And I'm like, I've talked to him for years, and I don't know the answer to that. So can you answer Zeb's question, please?
Well, I was called up to the big leagues, which is very cool, and get to San Diego, and they're like, hey, what number do you want? I was like, I don't know. What's available? And they listed a range of numbers, and number two was a single-digit number that was available. I felt like just having a single-digit number was pretty cool, especially on a team full of guys that were very established and obviously weren't going to be giving up numbers or anything. Not that there was one I was seeking out, but thought it was pretty cool. There's a kind of a long line of good middle infielders and shortstops that wore number two, and obviously Jeter. But for me, I really like Troy Tulowitzki a lot growing up, and I don't know if he wore it because of Jeter, but yeah, kind of a lot of little things, but not super attached to it, but definitely cool to have a single digit number.
That's a great answer. Yeah, I had wondered if Jeter was a part of it, but Tulo through Jeter makes all the sense in the world. That's that's pretty cool. And then are you watching the Olympics? We're finding ourselves watching way more of the Olympics than we expected to watch.
Yeah, the timing of it's pretty nice with our schedule, I feel like, because you watch like late morning and then kind of the recap at night. Watch that whole soccer game today, and yeah, been all over it. It's been great.
What sport are you digging that is like way more complicated than you realized it was as you're watching it?
I thought the footwork on the shot put and the hammer were really interesting, because I didn't realize they had to stay within that small area, and these are huge people, obviously. So to create that much force and like do it within a small space. Like do a max effort thing like that, but also have to be pretty nimble. Like I thought that was pretty impressive. And I had never really taken the time to watch it before. So those were impressive.
I said with 6 months, I could be an Olympian at badminton. And then I watched badminton and I realized that I was wrong. They're really good. Do you think you could be an Olympian if you trained for it?
In anything?
In anything.
Other than baseball?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like that's the classic question. I look at these body types people have, and I just can't do any of those things. I think handball probably is the easiest transition from my skill set, maybe, just like different arm angles, and I feel like maybe I could make that work, but probably not. Yeah, I don't have a lot to offer in the Olympics, I don't think.
Yeah, no, handball is a cool sport. I was watching the balance beam last night, and the way that some of those women were just like, they took a step to get on the balance beam. Like, they all have different ways to get on. Some of them are just like, you know what I'm just going to do? I'm just going to keep walking and then end up on top of the balance beam. It's like that.
They're better athletes than us.
They're better athletes than most of us. Are they better athletes than you, Nico, as you're watching it?
Definitely more specialized. I think it's just amazing to, I think just the mental side of it, of training for 4 years for like the one moment. I know it's the classic thing, but it's just like what we do is so different in that, like, you know, you can do something that's intense and good, bad, it's coming the next day. Whereas theirs, it's 4 years. So just you can have the most dominant skill set, but if you can't put that together mentally in the moment once every 4 years, it's not worth anything. So pretty crazy. And, yeah, like the 100-meter men's final was insane with Noah Lyles, and him obviously being, you know, loud and talking a big game and then winning by just that minimal margin. Just all this so dramatic.
Yeah, 3/100ths of a second between fastest man in the world and no medal.
Yeah, wow. That's tough. And he was in last after 40 meters. It's like – The margins there are just insane. But I feel like I would be so stressed out. Like I wouldn't wear a watch. I would like shave my head fully. I would like, everything would be just so minimal.
I don't find it to be that enjoyable of like, it's incredible TV, but I just find myself stressed the whole time because of exactly what you're saying. They have these poor parents who've taken kids to thousands of hours of gymnastics practice, like mic'd up. Yeah. I'm like, is there any joy here for anybody, or is it just pray that you don't fall off the balance beam? It just doesn't seem enjoyable to me.
The celebrations are pretty amazing, though. Like Mondo Duplantis breaking the world record on the pole vault and immediately running to his family and just the whole crowd being that locked in, and that seemed like a pretty cool scene.
How's Dansby taking it all?
He's good. He's locked in. I think he's been there was one night we were hanging out in Cincinnati, and he had a little bit of an early bedtime, I think, because he had to get up to watch a game and make sure he was well rested and lock in. But he's all in, invested, and she was amazing today with that assist to win the game.
So would you call football players and the Bears soft for letting Jonathan Owens go watch Simone Biles in the Olympics when Dansby decided to stay in Chicago and help his team?
I mean, she got it done, and she won a bunch of gold medals, and I don't know. What do you guys think? Is that not a good commitment to his team, or should
Shane's just trying to provoke you. They're in training camp, dude. You guys are in the dog days of a regular season.
No, I'm saying Dansby's a better guy than Jonathan Owens for sticking around with his team. That's what I'm saying. I'm on Dansby's side.
No, clearly.
She's Simone Biles. She's going to win anyway.
You're anti-Jonathan Owens.
Yeah, big time.
Is what you are.
My theory, Nico, was that actually if Jonathan Owens was better or worse, he wouldn't be able to go. He's in a perfect sweet spot of good enough to make the team, but not good enough to really matter if he misses practice.
Hey, is he choosing her or is he choosing his country? Because that's another way to look at it. He's doing the best thing for his nation versus the Bears. It's kind of an interesting debate.
Dansby hates America is what you're saying.
He's choosing her. He's choosing love. He's choosing love, and anybody who fights it doesn't support love.
Do you think America needs Jonathan Owens?
I think
Simone Biles might.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, Nico, you know what you guys have done successfully? You've created a pressurized situation where, like the Olympians, you guys have to go out and win every night. You know, it's just this is your moment. Tonight, the rest of the Twins series, then the White Sox. If you guys put together 11 out of 13 or something, you can totally get right back in this. I'm sure you guys still feel that way on some level.
Yeah, that's the reality. I mean, there's no there's no beating around that. That is the reality of the situation we put ourselves in. I think the exciting thing is it's something that people are actively talking about and not just hoping for. So I think that part of it's pretty exciting. And it's an opportunity to seize. I mean, it's the reality of it. It's a hard way to play baseball when, winning 60% of the time is considered a great season, but it's also definitely not impossible, and it's something that we're speaking into existence, and I think we have a good thing going right now, and we're going to make the most of it for sure.
That's interesting. So the fact that you guys are talking about it like it's a reality is inherently a good sign, in your opinion. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think so, because I've been in situations before where, you're aware of those things, but it feels a little more like hope than belief, and I think some of the offensive stuff that we've done lately, I think – really boost that, the consistency of our starting pitching. And then our bullpen's been really solid for a long time now. So we've talked about pairing those together for extended stretches and how we haven't done that much. And it feels like we're in a place where we can.
You could get the White Sox on a 23-game losing streak.
Oh, man. That's a lot.
21 straight losses, man.
And that right there.
That's a bit above average.
Dude, that right there is as eloquent as any of us have been in trying to talk about that thing.
21 well done, straight sir. Losses, Nico. I mean, come on.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you can be as much committed to your own process and improving and staying day to day, but those things weigh heavy, man. I think it was 10 or 11 straight we lost in 2021, kind of leading up to July, before we traded everyone away. And those stretches are tough, man. It's you can have the best group of guys possible, but you're going to feel that strong. So, yeah.
Nico, good stuff, man. We'll see you next week at the ballpark. We appreciate you.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, Nico.
All right. That is Nico Horner. Oh, man. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
for Trap Pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Leading off for the Perkins and Spiegel Show, number two, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
oh, sick.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it was funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
Yes.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Burleson lines one. Diving catch by Nico Horner. That's out number two. Back-to-back excellent defensive plays.
Nico goes. The pitch. Swing and a miss. The throw to second base is not in time. Stolen base for Nico.
Now good jump by Nico as he gets to that bag.
Completely changes the dynamic of the game. Just an extra 90 feet obviously leads to my base hit. Like, that scores him. You know, you don't need another hit to then score.
Yeah, now a base hit to the outfield and the Cubs will tie this ballgame.
Line drive, base hit, left field. Here comes Nico, and we're tied up at four. Yes, sir.
Just like the little things that make him obviously such a great player and such a valuable commodity for our group.
Ball game, Cubs win. Mike Tuchman walks it off.
It changes games, and that's what winning players do, and that he's definitely one of them.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Our conversations with Nico are brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois, 18 years in a row. What's up, Nico Horner?
Hi, how are we doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. In my good. Little hallway spot. Feeling good.
Nice. It's nice to hear that in that montage, the stolen base, a key part of what happened last Thursday night in that walk-off and Dansby saying nice things. It's we haven't seen the steals as much this year, but you still got that in you in a big moment, apparently, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on pace for like 30, so that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, it's not 50.
Last year.
Never did 50.
I know. We had high hopes for you this year, man. I know you've never done 50, but, you know.
I think last year we kind of abused the rule changes early on, and teams made some appropriate adjustments from there. So I don't know if 50 is in the cards, but we'll see.
You obviously last night, notwithstanding, the offense has been much better, especially since the deadline and Paredes getting here. You had said is the best version of us on the year. Why do you think, you know, overall the offense has been better of late?
Just from a depth perspective, I feel like when you look at the lineup, it's just a more complete lineup, a lineup that's a little more versatile. I think we have the ability to score in different ways, and combination of contact and some slug, and I think we're in a good spot with that offensively.
How much does one guy, even if he's not next to you in a lineup, impact you and other guys in the lineup? Like we've kind of debated that on the show, but obviously we have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think lineup construction's super interesting. I mean, I think the idea of you want your best hitters up as much as possible probably is the biggest factor, but it does seem like there's some combinations and pockets and skill sets that do line up, and sometimes that's just kind of a gut feeling, and obviously there's the righty-lefty combos, but, for instance, last year I felt like when I was able to be on base for Belly in particular, I just feel like anytime I was able to get in scoring position for him, you know, we were able to make that happen. And, just kind of, especially when you see guys out there that you know, and it's like you've been there before and just kind of have a bit of a rhythm with it.
I keep trying to have people confirm something I believe. You know that interview technique, Danny? You like that one when I go for that, right?
I do.
I know
it's
it.
It's a personal favorite.
Yeah. I was like, hey, I asked Dustin Kelly, your hitting coach, the other day in the dugout. I'm like, so when you see guys like Paredes and Bellinger with the two-strike approach, does that influence the willingness of other people? Does it get contagious in that way? And he said, no, it doesn't. And it bummed me out. But then I'm thinking, We asked you that question about Bellinger. Remember we asked Nico that question about Bellinger last year? And I think there was a yes, or was I just, look, you know, getting confirmation on that? Like when you see people doing that, are you more willing, I wonder, as a ball club to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Isaac Paredes changes anything with two strikes, or that it's just a skill set that works with two strikes. You know, I think you see more of an exaggerated adjustment from Belly, but overall, hard to say. But we'll see. It'll be interesting the more we play with him.
Jed said that he cares a lot about how the offense performs the last 2 months. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, like, you know, if that bad stretch gets looked at now as a bad stretch, okay, it was a bad stretch, but if it continues, it's obviously going to impact a lot and weigh on him when he makes decisions about what next year's team will look like this offseason. Is that something that he communicates to you guys, or what do you make of that message?
No, it's the first time I've heard that, but I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Obviously, what you do in the offseason is based on the version of the team that you have going into next year. And, you know, obviously a lot of baseball is done this year, but there's also a significant chunk left, especially when you talk about additions to the team, as well as, you know, guys like Pete, who have really been swinging the bat well. And I think showing who he is at this level and who he can be. And as well as those of us that haven't played to our standards, but believe that we have a lot more in the tank, obviously. So, yeah, all that stuff matters a lot. And obviously, as the players' end of it, we're focused on this year first and foremost, obviously. But those do have big implications for sure.
What are you seeing from Pete at the plate that you're enjoying?
Just lots of hard hit balls, line drives, hard hit ground balls. You know, obviously, you don't go up there to hit ground balls. But like, if your miss is a hard hit ground ball, you have a chance of producing. And you know, just the hard hit line drives. I mean, anytime he hits a ball that touches grass, he's going to have a chance to slug, and has home run power, as we've seen, and just really impressive on a variety of different kind of pitchers too. Such a big part of being an everyday guy, obviously, is not being, you know, lumped into facing certain types of guys and then having a type of pitcher that really, you really aren't productive against. And so it's been exciting to see him really cover a variety of pitches and pitchers.
Before the play, where he and you had the problem in the eighth inning, that sky was weird, right? Like Dansby had waved the two of you off kind of frantically for one, and there was a pop-up, Nico, where you waved everybody off and then had a big smile to PCA and to Dansby after you made the catch. What was so odd about the sky that day to begin with, so we understand?
The day that we dropped the ball, or when I caught one?
The Saturday. The Saturday when you dropped it. There was like a play with a big smile an inning or two before the one.
I mean, it's just the sun later in the year, the sun is a little bit more centered. So anything in the middle of the field is the sun plays a big factor, and then the wind blowing as it always is. You know, I think you see more pop-ups in general. Dropped at Wrigley, but I don't know how much of a factor the sun played on the ball that we actually dropped, though.
Well, you had said that you trust PCA more than basically anyone that you'd ever played with, which I thought was an interesting way to describe it afterwards, just given that you guys haven't played that much together. Can you expand on why, I guess, you said that, or maybe more accurately, like why you trust him so much?
Just because of the prep that he puts in, the skill set that he has, the confidence that he plays with, how much he believes in himself. You know, it's easy to believe in other people when I know that they believe in themselves first. And, you know, especially on the defensive side of the baseball, is just, I love how he talks about the game. I love how he takes, not only does it well, but takes pride in it. He's not just like someone who's blessed with a talent and then just goes and does it. There's thoughts behind it. And, he's working every day to improve. And, just have a lot of confidence in him.
So just expand on it. Like, trust on a baseball field when you're talking about it in those terms, like how do you measure it? How does it matter?
Well, it matters because I can't see him and he's coming full speed and I have to get out of the way.
I mean, okay. That's very logical.
So I guess that in that particular play, that's where, you know, my head went. And, you know, just the priorities on any ball in the air, the center fielder is the head guy out there, right? So he's in charge, and what he says goes, and that's going to be a really good thing for us in the long run, obviously, with his skill set. So we trust him to make those calls and catch the ball.
Ian Happ was on this morning and actually brought up the play where you and he had collided in 2021, I guess it was, in Cincinnati. And he brought it up in the context of you guys had to figure out, you know, your communication and just how it goes. I would like, maybe this is, and he brought it up in terms of like, maybe this is that moment where you and Pete then have to talk and take it to an extra level. And now you'll know that nothing like this will ever happen again. That is, does that make sense as a way to think about it?
Yeah. I mean, the one with Ian was interesting because neither of us called that ball ever. Because it was a true in-betweener, and there was no point in the air where I was like, I have this ball. And I assume he felt the same way. And we did it right where I went high and he went low. But unfortunately, you know, I went through his body and face. I think the only takeaway for me on the pop-up side, I mean, I'm not going to like stress over pop-ups because we're going to catch a lot of pop-ups. But just with the wind blowing straight in, it's like it was, it's, you know, more likely the infielder ends up camped. And then with it blowing out, infielders tend to kind of, like their feet are shuffling and they're drifting. And that's when you need the outfielder. So the wind is obviously a huge factor at Wrigley and should be play to our strengths as our home field.
We're talking to Nico Horner here, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. All right, a couple different lines of questioning here. We know you're a big proponent of the dominance of the Odyssey softball team, but there's
a huge fan of Odyssey softball.
But the team has a crisis, Nico. Shane can explain.
All right, Nico. So second to last regular season game last night, our shortstop, who we've told you about, Cody Westerland, fractured his thumb. He is out for the season. I need your help because I've got to slide over from third and become the shortstop on a 9-0 Odyssey softball team. I've lost weight recently, but I don't know if the speed came with it. I think I'll have the range. My arm is strong. You just want me playing deep back onto the grass or cut balls off?
Whatever gets you on the routine play most consistently. I think as a replacement guy, your teammates are going to really judge you based on the play that they just basic one they need to have. Anything else is bonus from that point. And so I think you need to just self-reflect on like what gets you to the place that you can most consistently do the simplest thing. And maybe something great happens from that. But I think that's just where you keep your head for now.
I already spend a lot of time self-reflecting and it never really turns out good. So I don't know
more of a therapy
how much
thing,
self-reflection I should be doing. And also I think they
maybe
judge
less.
Me.
Maybe less self-reflection.
Maybe less self. I think also my teammates judge me for a lot more than just my ability to play softball. And I think that's also part of the problem.
Yeah. Are you going to take a lot of extra reps or are you just going to trust your instincts and just go
for it?
I'm
going to trust my instincts. Yeah, I'm just going to pounce on the ball.
That's probably better. You're not going to reinvent the wheel in a week's time. Okay. I think you're more capable than you probably realize. So
that means more than that. That means so much coming from you. Thank you.
I mean, honestly, I was kind of hoping that Nico was just going to volunteer.
Yeah, I thought so too.
When he said we need your help, I thought the next question was, can you take the last 6 weeks off of the Cubs season and come help out Odyssey?
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of all these rules.
I feel like Shane wants this.
I do want it, but I'm kind of tired of all these stupid rules Craig Counsell has for you. It's dumb.
An on-field injury?
No, it was like an in-betweener. It was on-field. It was an in-betweener where he didn't know if he wanted to let it hop or try to cut it off and catch the liner, and it caught his left thumb. He's in a cast and everything.
That sport with no glove will get you.
Yeah, they say that.
It will. And then listen, Nico, we are out here. We're having a great time at the Wall out here in Gurnee, and so we've got a live audience in front of us, and there's a kid out here. He's 11 years old. His name is Zeb, and he's rocking a Cubs hat and a Cubs jersey, and it's a Nico Horner jersey. He's a huge fan of yours. And so I asked Zeb if he had a question for you, and he said, yeah, why does Nico wear number 2? And I'm like, I've talked to him for years, and I don't know the answer to that. So can you answer Zeb's question, please?
Well, I was called up to the big leagues, which is very cool, and get to San Diego, and they're like, hey, what number do you want? I was like, I don't know. What's available? And they listed a range of numbers, and number 2 was a single-digit number that was available. I felt like just having a single digit number was pretty cool, especially on a team full of guys that were very established and obviously weren't going to be giving up numbers or anything. Not that there was one I was seeking out, but thought it was pretty cool. There's a kind of a long line of good middle infielders and shortstops that were number two, and obviously Jeter. But for me, I really like Troy Tulowitzki a lot growing up, and I don't know if he wore it because of Jeter, but yeah, kind of a lot of little things, but not super attached to it, but definitely cool to have a single digit number.
That's a great answer. Yeah, I had wondered if Jeter was a part of it, but Tulo through Jeter makes all the sense in the world. That's that's pretty cool. And then are you watching the Olympics? We're finding ourselves watching way more of the Olympics than we expected to watch.
Yeah, the timing of it's pretty nice with our schedule, I feel like, because you watch like late morning and then kind of the recap at night. Watch that whole soccer game today, and yeah, I've been all over it. It's been great.
What sport are you digging that is like way more complicated than you realized it was as you're watching it?
I thought the footwork on the shot put and the hammer were really interesting, because I didn't realize they had to stay within that small area, and these are huge people, obviously. So to create that much force and like do it within a small space, like do a max effort thing like that, but also have to be pretty nimble. Like, I thought that was pretty impressive. And I had never really taken the time to watch it before. So those were impressive.
I said with 6 months, I could be an Olympian at badminton. And then I watched badminton and I realized that I was wrong. They're really good. Do you think you could be an Olympian if you trained for it?
In anything?
In anything.
Other than baseball?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like that's the classic question. I look at these body types people have, and I just can't do any of those things. I think handball probably is the easiest transition from my skill set, maybe, just like different arm angles. And I feel like maybe I could make that work, but probably not. Yeah, I don't have a lot to offer in the Olympics, I don't think.
Yeah, no, handball is a cool sport. I was watching the balance beam last night, and the way that some of those women were just like, they took a step to get on the balance beam. Like, they all have different ways to get on. Some of them are just like, you know what I'm just going to do? I'm just going to keep walking and then end up on top of the balance beam. It's like that.
They're better athletes than us.
They're better athletes than most of us. Are they better athletes than you, Nico, as you're watching it?
Definitely more specialized. I think it's just amazing to, I think just the mental side of it, of training for 4 years for like the one moment. I know it's the classic thing, but it's just like what we do is so different in that, like, you know, you can do something that's intense and good, bad, it's coming the next day. Whereas theirs, it's 4 years. So just you can have the most dominant skill set, but if you can't put that together mentally in the moment once every 4 years, it's not worth anything. So pretty crazy. And, yeah, like the 100-meter men's final was insane with Noah Lyles, and him obviously being, you know, loud and talking a big game, and then winning by just that minimal margin. Just, oh, it's so dramatic.
Yeah, 3/100ths of a second between fastest man in the world and no medal.
Yeah, wow. That's dumb. And he was in last after 40 meters. It's like, The margins there are just insane. But I just, like, I can't – I feel like I would be so stressed out. Like, I wouldn't wear a watch. I would, like, shave my head fully. I would, like – everything would be just so minimal.
I don't find it to be that enjoyable. It's incredible TV, but I just find myself stressed the whole time because of exactly what you're saying. They have these poor parents who've taken kids to thousands of hours of gymnastics practice, like, mic'd up. Yeah. I'm like, is there any joy here for anybody, or is it just pray that you don't fall off the balance beam? It just doesn't seem enjoyable to me.
The celebrations are pretty amazing, though. Like, Mondo Duplantis breaking the world record on the pole vault and immediately running to his family, and just the whole crowd being that locked in, and that seemed like a pretty cool scene.
How's Dansby taking it all?
He's good. He's locked in. I think he's been there was one night we were hanging out in Cincinnati, and he had a little bit of an early bedtime, I think, because he had to get up to watch a game and make sure he was well rested and lock in. But yeah, he's all in, invested, and she was amazing today with that assist to win the game.
So would you call football players and the Bears soft for letting Jonathan Owens go watch Simone Biles in the Olympics when Dansby decided to stay in Chicago and help his team?
I mean, she got it done, and she won a bunch of gold medals, and I don't know. What do you guys think? Is that not a good commitment to his team, or should
no? Shane's just trying to provoke you. They're in training camp, dude. You guys are in the dog days of a regular season.
No, I'm saying Dansby's a better guy than Jonathan Owens for sticking around with his team. That's what I'm saying. I'm on Dansby's side.
No, clearly.
Like,
no.
She's Simone Biles. She's going to win anyway.
You're anti Jonathan Owens.
Yeah, big time.
Is
always
what you been. Are.
My theory, Nico, was that actually if Jonathan Owens was better or worse, he wouldn't be able to go. Like, he's in a perfect sweet spot of, like, good enough to make the team, but not good enough to really matter if he misses practice.
Hey, well, I mean, is he choosing her or is he choosing his country? Because that's another way to look at it. He's doing the best thing for his nation versus the Bears. It's kind of an interesting debate.
Now, also, Dansby hates America is what you're saying.
He's choosing her. He's choosing love. He's choosing love, and anybody who fights it doesn't support love.
Do you think America needs Jonathan Owens?
I think
Simone
does.
Biles might.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, Nico, you know what you guys have done successfully? You've created a pressurized situation where, like the Olympians, you guys have to go out and win every night. You know, it's just this is your moment. Tonight, the rest of the Twins series, then the White Sox. If you guys put together like 11 out of 13 or something, you can totally get right back in this. I'm sure you guys still feel that way on some level.
Yeah, that's the reality. I mean, there's no there's no beating around that. Like, that is the reality of the situation we put ourselves in. I think the exciting thing is it's something that people are actively talking about and not just hoping for. So I think that part of it's pretty exciting. And it's an opportunity to seize. I mean, it's the reality of it. It's a hard way to play baseball when, you know, winning 60% of the time is considered a great season, but it's also not, definitely not impossible, and it's something that we're speaking into existence, and I think we have a good thing going right now, and we're going to make the most of it for sure.
That's interesting. So the fact that you guys are talking about it like it's a reality is inherently a good sign, in your opinion. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think so, because I've been in situations before where, you're aware of those things, but it feels a little more like hope than belief, and I think some of the offensive stuff that we've done lately, I think – really boost that, the consistency of our starting pitching, and then our bullpen's been really solid for a long time now. So we've talked about pairing those together for extended stretches and how we haven't done that much, and it feels like we're in a place where we can.
You could get the White Sox on a 23-game losing streak.
Oh, man. That's a lot.
21 straight losses, man.
And that right there.
That's a bit above average.
Dude, that right there is as eloquent as any of us have been in trying to talk about that thing.
21 well done, straight sir. Losses, Nico. I mean, come on.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you can be as much committed to your own process and improving and staying day to day, but those things weigh heavy, man. Like, 10, I think it was 10 or 11 straight we lost in 2021, kind of leading up to July, before we traded everyone away. And like, those stretches are tough, man. It's like, you can have the best group of guys possible, but you're going to feel that strong. So, yeah.
Nico, good stuff, man. We'll see you next week at the ballpark. We appreciate you.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, Nico.
All right. That is Nico Horner. Oh, man. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.